Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you that wisdom comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning or variation whatsoever. Lord God, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. I was thinking with an introduction like that. The heat is on. Glory to God. Praise the living God. How many of you this year, you've hit the ground running? Yeah, it's an unusual year for that. Keep your hand up because it will... Yeah. You know what I mean by you've hit the ground running? Is that, that's not an Irishism, is it? No. It's not like I'll poke the head of you or anything like that. No. Yeah, you've hit the ground running, and I think you should give God praise for that. Those years where you can sort out the beginning of the year and you can stand guard over it, generally, they finish up good. Praise God. How many of you are believing for a good year this year? Thank you, Lord. You know, there's some years that are like vintage years. May you have one of them in Jesus' mighty name. Praise his wonderful name. Psalm number one. I want to read this psalm firstly, and then we're going to get into something that God told me to call a series called How to Establish Yourself in the Blessing of God. How to establish yourself in the blessing of God. You could have one eye and half sense and still see that God's blessing is on my life. Amen. Doesn't take many O-levels to realize that. And in this series, what I want to do is, like Peter and John said, such as I have, give I to thee. I freely received it from God. I want to freely impart it into your life. And I pray that the measure of thought and study that you give to these words will be the measure of power and virtue and knowledge that will flow back into your life. So are you ready for that?
Yes.
Praise the living God. Psalm number one, it says, how blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. There's always an opportunity to walk in the counsel of the wicked, always. You could be the straight and narrowest person that you'll ever come across in your entire life, and somehow the opportunity to walk with the wicked will come your way. How many of you know that's true? It's just a fact of life, right? We're in the world and that's it, but we're not of the world. He says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season. Its leaf doesn't wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. But for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Praise Jesus, my God. How to establish yourself in the blessing of God. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look very quickly at one passage of Scripture, one simple verse of the Bible. In fact, two. It says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13, Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that the blessing, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we, that's you and I, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for what it does. That when it finds the right soil, a human heart, a good an understanding heart, your word says in Luke chapter 8, that it sprouts, that the soil of our heart gets to work on the seed of your word. It starts to process that thing and brings transformation into the garden of our heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for watching over your word to perform it, that you, Lord God, do all things well. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Number one, in fact, I got as far as number one this morning. I don't know how long, whether this will be a series or exactly what will happen. But God told me this. He said, the first step in establishing your life in the blessing of God is to believe that the blessing of God is yours. In Christ, you can't have what you can't believe for. You can't have what you can't believe for. And many times, you know, we are our own worst enemy in terms of believing God for the things that are ours. The Bible says it. Christ became a curse for us that we might be blessed, right? So turn to your neighbor and tell him, God's not your problem. God's not your problem. He's really not your problem. I used to have this outlook on life, right? That, you know, I gave my life to Jesus. Transformational change occurred in my life. August the 31st, 1984, I made Jesus Lord of my life. I had a supernatural encounter with God, and it literally scared the hell out of me. And it was a complete 180-degree change in my life that I went through, right? And I literally, it was unfathomable. The friends that I'd known and loved and been with, and, you know, we'd done all kinds of scallywag stuff together, when I told them I'd given my life to Christ, they thought I was laying low because of some mess up that I'd, you know, done, some, like, robbery or something like that, you know, Crime Watch. I used to look out for my friends on Crime Watch, and I saw a few. Hallelujah. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, place I grew up in. That was, like, standard fare, right? So here's this guy, totally changed. I gave my life to Christ, and all I had in, this happened in Ireland, and in the west of Ireland, there was nothing in terms of established church. There was the Catholic Church, and there was a bunch of, like, Protestants down from Northern Ireland who were trying their best to kind of save the Catholic heathen. And of course, you know, who would listen to that? So here I am, and myself, my cousins, and like, we were just doing the best we can. We're doing the best we could to get by. We all bought Bibles. My cousin Nick bought a guitar. Everyone was just, you know, all we wanted to do was read the Bible and talk about Jesus and pray. And that was basically it, right? Nearly like 22 out of 24 hours a day. And so I didn't know, my spirit hadn't been formed correctly. You ever meet somebody with a deformed spirit or an unformed spirit? Because, you see, it's the word of God that forms your spirit, right? So anything that went wrong, I thought God was the problem. Because that's the extent of knowledge that I knew, right? Now, the problem there is that then if I think that God's the problem and I'm praying to the problem, what's going to happen? I didn't know my Bible, right? I didn't know it sufficiently. I knew it. There were parts of the Bible I knew backwards, things I could recite. But I didn't know, for instance, the Bible says in Psalm 84, no good thing shall he withhold from those who walk uprightly, right? I didn't know that that promise was mine, okay? So here I am, like, trying to get by, like, I don't know, just anyone lived on Barely Get Along Street? You know what Barely Get Along Street is? It's terrible, isn't it? It's the worst street to live on, apart from Broke Street. Broke Street is even worse than that. Anyone live on Broke Street? Don't put your hand up. Praise God. Okay, so here I am, Barely Get Along Street, trying to make ends meet, trying to get by, and anything that went wrong, God was automatically the problem. Because I didn't know. I hadn't been formed. My spirit hadn't been formed correctly in the Word of God, right? Now, Paul says in one of the books, I can't remember which one, he talks about that the allowing the word of God to form you. Colossians chapter 3, he says, let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and understanding. In other words, there's something about the word dwelling in you richly. You know that scripture that talks about transformation? And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, don't be conformed to this world. He says, but what? Be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? And that word transformed there is literally be metamorphosized. That's where we get the word metamorphosis from, when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Anyone know that process? What do they call it? It's the thing that it becomes into is a chrysalis. But there's like a pupa, there's a chrysalis, there's all sorts of what? A larva, yeah, you start off as larvae and then you enter this, yes, the cocoon, right? And it then becomes this chrysalis thing. And what used to be a self-centered, slimy trail-leaving organism. You ever see a caterpillar? Yeah, and you know that trail that, like you can even tell where they've been out the garden. If you grow cabbage and you can see that like silver trail, you know a caterpillar's been here because it leaves a dirty trail. And all it does, it just munches. It just swallows up and just leaves destruction in its wake, you know, particularly those of you that are gardeners, right? And that's what I was like in that particular stage, right? And the word of God says, let the word dwell in you richly in all wisdom and understanding. And what I saw in my spirit, it's like where this caterpillar that's very self-centered, that just leaves a trail of destruction around it, munches everything in its sight, suddenly it enters this stage where something occurs that transforms it from something so ugly looking and so disgusting. Even if you bring a caterpillar, any school teachers here, and you bring a caterpillar into a classroom and all the kids are, But if you brought that same caterpillar in about 4 or 5 weeks later, everyone would be going, oh. What's happened? Transformation. And that's the extent of transformation that God wanted in my life to change this. But there was a problem, you see. The word of God wasn't dwelling in me richly in all wisdom and understanding. Circumstances were speaking to me. My broke self was speaking to me. Do you ever have that situation where your broke self speaks to you? I'm standing there in the freezing cold. Now, the west of Ireland, if you think it's cold here, right? In the west of Ireland, it's even colder than this because it's damp cold. And the rain is so strong, it goes sideways. So you've got the rain coming down, right? And you've got the wind blowing so strong that it just enters you. So I remember standing at the bus stop sometimes going into like prayer meetings and stuff like that. And the wind is blowing and the rain is howling. And it's like, God, like I'm your servant, I'm your son. What is this all about? You see, God was my problem. I'm speaking to somebody here where God is your problem. In your own understanding, God is your problem. And the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning nor variation whatsoever. It's amazing, you know, where we've got this kind of you give and take away attitude to God. You know, that's one of the things that God rebuked Job for having that outlook on life. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it was the devil that took away. And he was calling the devil the Lord. You want to know where Job's problem was? Job thought that God was his problem. You get nothing from God that way. Nothing. How could you? Can you imagine if my children thought I was the problem? And with God, you see, what you say is what you get. Do you remember the children of Israel? Same God in the wilderness, right? The children of Israel are walking through and they start whining. The Lord's only brought us this far so that he could kill us. You remember that scripture? And what happened? They died in the wilderness, right? where did that come from? It came out of the heart of the people, came out of their mouth, and what they said was what they got. The very same people, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the righteous. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty in the earth. Riches and honor will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Hallelujah. Same God. Different heart attitudes. Praise God. You know, Psalm 91, in fact, let me find it there, because I want to get this deep into your spirit today. If this is all I leave you with today, I pray that you'll end up happy in Jesus' mighty name. Psalm 91, this is a real key. What are we looking at? How to establish yourself in the blessing of God. Psalm 91 and verse number 1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse number 2 says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Right? Now, verse number 2 again. He says, I will say to the Lord. Now, if you turn your page, if you have a new American, you'll have to turn your page. Verse number 9 of the same psalm. He says this, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. How did he do it? How did he make the Lord his refuge? And I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge. Verse number 9, for you have made the Lord your refuge. How did it happen? By saying it. By saying it. Now, here's one of the problems. The Bible says, you see, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks, okay? So if you are not establishing God's word in your heart, something else will come out of your mouth. Right. I've even seen people, they can put the word of God in their mouth, but it's not yet in their heart. Yes. So you ask them, how are you doing? Can't complain. Of course you can. Go ahead, whine, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to walk away. It's like when I preach sometimes and people say, oh, Pastor P, you mustn't get distracted at me. You know, if I've got my eyes closed, I'm still listening to you, but I've got my eyes closed. I say, okay, well, as long as I can do the same when you're talking to me, that's fine. You imagine? So I just close my eyes and then I just walk off. Listen to your whining self, praise God. How does it happen? It happens by saying it. And I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And then verse number 9 says, you have made, he says, for you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. It's like people who call on God for healing. Oh, Lord, heal me. Oh, Lord, heal me. Well, actually, if you read your scripture, he's already done it. That was accomplished 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, right? So God's not your problem. If you're sick in your body today, God is not your problem. Amen. I'm going to drill this in. Yes. So many people are wondering. They're in that area of wondering about God. When the word of God is so clearly defined, he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. The chastisement necessary for us to obtain peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. For Christ became a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Now, the blessing of Abraham, this was a guy who had a kid at the age of 100. We watched, do you remember that? There was a documentary about the dam busters. I don't know if anyone saw that documentary about the dam busters a couple of nights ago. They showed it previously on BBC Two. And there was this old, old couple. She used to work in a control tower. He was one of the dam buster guys riding in the back of the plane at the back, you know, with the gun turret. And they met each other at this Air Force field, and they got married in 1942. And so they'd been married 70 years, and the TV cameras came and interviewed them. 70 years old. And the Lord spoke to me right then when I'm watching it. And I said, now, that's the age that Abraham went to bed with Sarah. And 9 months later, out came a baby. I mean, this guy walks in like this with the cup of tea in the documentary. You have to see it. It's worth checking out on BBC Two. Just to see what Abraham and Sarah will have looked like. This miracle-working God. And this couple were in love. 70 years married. Hey, what an example. Praise God. Sweet little old dears. And I'm watching this thing thinking, oh, how sweet. And God said, yeah, that's the age Abraham and Sarah got together. I thought, hey, this God we serve. Praise the living Jesus forever. Wow, God's not your problem. Nudge your neighbor, slap your neighbor, push your neighbor. Tell him, God is not your problem. Why? Because part of the blessing of Abraham is health, vitality. Praise Jesus. Prosperity. If you're poor today, if you can't get by, God is not your problem. He is not your problem. What we got to do is join sides with God and rebuke poverty, rebuke sickness. You see, here's one thing, right? If the devil can convince you that your poverty is a test, you'll stay in it for life. Good preaching, Pastor Pete. Say it again. If the devil can convince you that somehow God is testing you with poverty, you'll stay poor the rest of your life. I promise you. I promise you. Why? Because we're in a fight. Yes. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. Yes. The good fight. That's the fight you win. That's the fight when you knock seven bells out of your opponent. The devil. God is not your problem. Amen. God is not your problem. I've got to get this drummed into you. Why? I want you to be as blessed, if not more blessed, than me and my family are. I know it's true. God, if you saw what I came out of, and if you see where I am now, all you need is the word of God and time on your side, and man, the rest is history. History. The Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. So if by following Christ, I've broken through in certain areas, in the area of health and healing, in the area of prosperity, in the area of the blessing of God. You see, this is one thing, right? We can narrow, and we do a disservice often to the body of Christ by narrowing the blessing of God just to things like health and prosperity. Because, you know, if you're a medical doctor or a pharmacist and you've got access to all kinds of medical stuff and you're, in a fairly well-paying job and everything like that, then it's like, well, they could say, well, like, I'm blessed. I don't even know the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? If we just narrow it down. But, you know, there's more to it than that. There's more to it. In the days of adversity, that's when you really see where the blessing of God lies. Right. In trouble and in hardship. Psalm 112, you know that scripture that I just quoted to you slightly earlier, says his seed shall be mighty in the earth. Riches and honor will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the righteous. And then he says this. He says, he shall not be shaken in times of hard news. That's the Pastor P. Rendition of that scripture. In times of adversity, he will not be shaken. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. It's a powerful, powerful scripture. It's actually, in fact, let's get it up there, man. The Spirit of God keeps driving me this way. Let's go to Psalm 112. If you would like a template for what a person's life sounds like when they've established their life in the blessing of God, then you won't find one better in the Word of God than Psalm 112. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. So he starts out with praise. Praise is always a good place to start. Can you say amen? Amen. He says, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His seed or his descendants will be mighty on earth. Pastor P, are your children going to succeed? Oh, absolutely. How do you know? It's there. It's there. It's there, or I'm lying to you. You can come back and sue me for lying. Verse number 2, his seed will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. You see, if my kids are suddenly veering one way or the other, or like, I'm not going to look at God as if it's God testing me. No way, God's not my problem. Slap your neighbor again and tell him, God's not your problem. His seed will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Look at this one, number 3. Wealth. Okay. Let me prepare myself for this one with my classic self. Wealth and riches are where?
His house.
And his righteousness endures forever. Look at this, verse 4. Light, I love this. This is one of my daily confessions. Light arises in the darkness for the righteous. My wife mentioned wisdom when she was introducing me this morning to preach the word, you see. But the wisdom I have, it doesn't come from me. This kind of wisdom, you can't get it on earth. It doesn't come from the natural earthly plane. You know, God will show me things. Like, for instance, I was in prayer a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden in my spirit, you know, this idea of planet Earth and where we're at right now came into play, and the big letter U was over the thing, and I saw in my spirit that this U stands for uncertainty. These are really, really uncertain times. They're not sure who's going to win the general election. They're not sure whether the euro is going to hold together. They're not sure whether Europe is going to, you know, they're not sure which way is Russia going to go. Is the oil price collapse going to cause a major confrontation between Russia and Europe? It could so easily happen, using the Middle East as the battlefield, so to speak. These changes that have happened with the death of the King of Saudi Arabia, who held Saudi together, and actually Saudi and Israel have become great allies as a result. No matter what the mullahs say is happening. Uncertainty with a capital U. Everywhere you go, there's uncertainty. They can't call the election in America. They don't even know who's standing yet for the Republicans in America. They can't call anything. It's like it's uncertain times. There's a big capital U over everything. But one thing I know is sure. There is a steadfast rock. Yeah. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. You know that song, my hope has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. You see, you didn't know I was a Methodist. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. Verse number 5. It is well with the man who is a gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment. Verse number 6. For he will never, listen to this. For he will never be shaken. Now this thing is proven in our lives. You stand over the grave of a 2-year-old daughter and you announce before heaven, earth, and under the earth that you shall never be shaken. That's proving that word to be true. Can you give the Lord praise for that? Hallelujah to Jesus forever. He will never be shaken. You see, the storms of life will come, right? The rain falls from above. The wind blows from the side. The floods come up from beneath. But the house that is built on the believing and doing the word. He said, he who hears my word and does it. So that's the condition. You'll know whether you're on the rock, whether you are hearing and doing the word or just hearing and not doing the word. If you're hearing the word and not doing the word, you're on sand. You might look great, you might sound great, X, Y, Z. But if you're not hearing and doing the word, then the floods will come, the winds will blow, the rains will fall, and you'll be washed away. I feel very sorry for you, but that's the way it is. If you're founded on hearing and doing the word, he says, he who hears my word and does it shall be likened to a wise man. You see, I'm likened to a wise man. I'm not really a wise man because my wisdom doesn't come from me. Do you see what I mean? But I'm likened to a wise man. Why? Because I've heard the word and I've done the word. Right? He will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. Verse 7, look at this. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is what? Steadfast, trusting in the Lord. I heard the story. In fact, Dad Hagen used to teach this story of a guy at one of these big state fairs they used to have. And they had a hot air balloon. And they were trying to tie this hot air balloon. You know, the more air they pump into one of these things, the higher it's going to go, right? And so everyone's holding this hot air balloon down with ropes. The next thing, one of the ropes snapped. And four guys got carried off hanging onto the ropes of this hot air balloon, right? One by one, the people were looking in horror as these guys were falling. They just couldn't hang on anymore. They just, you know, kept falling. The hot air balloon came down something like 20 miles away, and one of the guys actually survived. And they were asking him, like, what did you do? What did you do? He said, well, I noticed everyone who was hanging onto the ropes was falling off. He said, so I tied the rope around myself. And instead of me hanging onto the rope was hanging onto me. Hallelujah. And when Dad Hagen heard that story, the Lord spoke to him and he said, that's exactly what you need to do with the word of God in times of adversity. Don't try and hang on the word of God in times of adversity. Put the word around yourself and let the word of God hang on to you. Hallelujah. What great wisdom. Give the Lord a hand of praise for that wisdom. Praise Jesus. Because when adversity hits, that's when you need to have tied the word of God to you and say, Lord, as for me, I'm going wherever your word's going. As for me, I'm not leaving your side. I am not letting you go in this thing. I am no longer hanging on to me. I am trusting that you are hanging on to me. Praise his holy name. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Verse number 8, his heart is upheld. He will not fear. Is there any fear in your life? You know, fear is an enemy. Fear is a major door opener to all kinds of stupidity from the devil. And I don't know about you. You know, I can only speak as a man. But at certain ages, right, the devil tries certain tricks in your physical body and in your mind, right? So when you enter your 50s, you enter, like, the major heart attack risk coefficient. Doctors will tell you, you know, it's like, oh well, you have to watch yourself in relation to heart. In your 60s, then they'll say that, because in your 40s it's usually, oh, cancer this, cancer that, cancer the other. 50s, it's the heart attack region. Then in the 60s, it's like stroke, right? And then in the 70s, it's, oh yeah, that's when you go mad, that's when you lose your mind. And so the devil, it's like demon of the decade for every decade that you've been around, right? What's he trying to do? He's trying to antagonize you. So if you get the word in concerning healing now, then you can prepare yourself. I mean, my goodness me, you know, into my 90s, I'm already declaring the blessing of God over my life. The Bible says the memory of the righteous shall be blessed. It didn't say the memory of the righteous will be lost and they'll go mad somewhere. I prayed for a woman in America, a very, very influential woman. She works for one of the largest broadcast companies in the world. And she was coming in to do an interview with us, and we were going to be on their show and all that kind of thing in the US, right? And I saw this demon, bam, she walked in the door. I saw this demon right there on the side of her head. I mean, attaching itself. You know the way a crab would grab a hold of a person and just latch themselves on. And this woman was just, you know, I didn't know her from Adam. I didn't even know her name at that time. In fact, I can't remember her name now. But anyway, my memory is blessed. I'll get it for you in a minute. Hallelujah. And so the night went on. We did the interview, everything like that. And then we came back into this little suite area where they were hosting us and giving us all, you know, the niceties, little canapes and all that sort of stuff. And so she came in. She said, oh, would you pray for me? And the person we were with said, sure, Pastor Paul, will you join me in prayer? So then I knew that's my opportunity, man. If I see a demon, Lord Jesus, I want to cast that sucker out. Doesn't matter, you know, Brent Cross Shopping City. Come out! No, I'm joking. Well, you never know, you know, if you see me acting kind of strange one day down at Brent Cross, then chances are that's what's going on. But I just declared, I said, the devil has lied to you. I said, for the last X number, and I named the number, I think it was like 9 months to a year, I said, a demon is attached to itself, and he's trying to convince you that you're losing your memory. Ah, that's right, that's right. And I said, come off in Jesus' name. I think I might have slapped her. I can't remember. Okay. Can't do that kind of thing in America. You know, you get sued for it. Get sued for casting out devils. Can you imagine? It's slightly better than Paul and Silas. You remember they cast out the devil, ended up in jail? Praise God. Now you just get sued. Okay. So I sat, and she, oh, that after the prayer, oh, that's right, thank you so much, he's been deceived. And she said, I feel so much greater, praise God. I haven't caught up with her, I haven't seen her since. But I know that her testimony will be a good one. Amen. Why? Because the devil, you see, he's an opportunist. He's an opportunity seeking demon. And the Bible says to everything there is timing and judgment. You see, he knows timing and judgment. We've got to know our timing and judgment as well. We've got to be on top of this thing in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says his heart will be established, upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. Number 9, he has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. Verse number 10, the wicked will see it. You want to really wind up the devil. This is how to do it. Take the template of a blessed man. Learn to establish your life in the blessing of God. Number 1, God is not your problem. Amen. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Praise Jesus. Now, if you want to know what wickedness looks like, look at the opposite of everything that God promises in Psalm 112. Let me say that again. If you want to know what the operation of wickedness looks like in a life, look at the opposite. Work out Psalm 112. Read it, but read it in the opposite. You see, if this is the template of the blessed life, then the template of the cursed life is everything that Psalm 112 promises, but in the opposite. So if there's any of those opposites in your life, you know that God's not your problem. Amen. Amen. It's going to take some study, but listen to me. The measure of thought and study that you put into the word that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that flows into your life as a result. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet right now. We want to thank God for his word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord God, thank you that you haven't given us over to the opposite life, that you have given us to the Psalm 112 life, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord God, that light that comes from you, that brings all kinds of promises, all kinds of blessings, all kinds of deliverances, Father. To you, Lord God, the word says that deliverances from death belong to. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your blessing. We thank you for the blessed life. We go, Lord God, we purpose in our hearts that we will go for the blessed life. We'll establish our hearts in the blessing of God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we know that you are not our problem, that you are for us and not against us, that you have blessed us in Christ and not cursed us. You've raised us up in Christ and not put us down. You could have treated us any single way that you wanted to, Lord God, but you chose to bless us. You chose to call us sons. You chose to pour out your anointing. You chose to cause us to be a blessing to mankind. And just like our father in faith, Abraham, Lord God, we declare that we are blessed to be a blessing. We declare that we are delivered to deliver. We declare that we are healed to heal. We declare that we are prospered to prosper. We declare, Heavenly Father, that we are broken through, that we may be instruments of breakthrough in the lives of many, Father. That those who live shouldn't live for themselves, but for him who died on their behalf. And once again, Father, we rededicate ourselves to this commission. This commission to go, this commission to be a blessing, the commission, Lord God, to share what you have given us, Heavenly Father, that we would indeed be eyes to the blind, ears to the hearing, the understanding heart to the heartless, Heavenly Father, the voice of kindness in the earth, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Lord, we choose to be that voice. We choose to carry the blessing. We choose to live the great life in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.